Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Derek Orr of PSCR. Derek, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
You bet, Donnie. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Well, it's great to hear your voice, but I have to admit, I wanted to see you in person this year. I'm used to early June. Hey, that's PSCR time in person, but as with our event as well, in-person events are just not happening. Can you tell folks what you guys are doing instead?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. It was supposed to be last week that we were going to be in San Diego for our 11th stakeholder meeting. As anybody that's participated with us in the past would know, the stakeholder meeting is an incredibly important part of our year. It is the mechanism by which we interact with a large group of our stakeholders, oftentimes around 500 individuals from industry, public safety, academia, government. It's also an important way for us to remain accountable to those stakeholders and to inform them about all the work that we're doing, the successes we've had, get their feedback so that we can ensure that we're still working on the most important topics that will help public safety do their jobs better and save lives. So it is an incredibly important element of our program. And so, of course, we were very disappointed when it became obvious that it wasn't going to be able to be held as we had planned in June this year. And our first reaction was, is this the year that we miss? And I think our team quickly rose to the challenge of saying, no, that's not how this is going to work. We will just find a new way to provide this information. And so what we are doing this year is we have branded it the PSCR 2020 Digital Experience, and it will be the same content, the same types of demonstrations of technology as we've had in the past, and it will all be delivered in a digital format for people to be able to consume. A few differences this year are, of course, it's not possible to consume the type of content that we deliver typically live in a matter of a few days online, because we have so many concurrent sessions happening at any given time, and we have so many demonstrations occurring on every day. So what we're doing this year is, starting the week of July 27th, we will kick the entire digital experience off with a series of live sessions, keynotes. This year, the keynote from Public Safety is going to be Todd Early from the state of Texas, who's also the chair of the FirstNet Public Safety Advisory Committee. There'll be a fireside chat with myself and Ed Horowitz, the FirstNet chairman. There'll be some sessions around some of our events that have occurred throughout the year. And after those live sessions have occurred over several days in the week of July 27th, then the remainder of our content will all have been pre-recorded and available on demand to people who register for the event, and they will be able to consume that content over 70 on-demand sessions across all of our technology portfolios, from all of our researchers reporting out on their research, as well as over 56 pre-recorded technology demos from our researchers that will be on demand as well and be able to be consumed. All of that will be available, and people will be able to watch them as their schedules permit and based on their interest. There will be the opportunity to ask questions through chat sessions or through Google Docs, and we will get answers out. We will post those answers for everybody to see. And that will be an experience that will be maintained over a period of weeks to a couple of months. And all of this is free this year. So all of that content will be developed and provided for free to anybody that registers. So to all your listeners out there, I highly recommend that you go to our website and register to get access to all of this content. We have a lot of good things to talk about, a lot of good information to discuss and make available to you. So all it takes is taking the time to register, and then it will be made available in July 27th.
Okay, so it's free. It's on July 27th. Now, you know, you mentioned some of the keynotes and sessions and things like that, doing those virtually. Frankly, you know, there's been a lot of that during this COVID time. People are getting used to. But talk a little bit about the demos, because honestly, you know, that's one of the things I thought about, you know, that's so enjoyable about PSCR is to be able to go and actually see the what the researchers are doing. And, you know, obviously you don't get to touch it, but how are people going to show this to folks virtually?
Yeah, I mean, that's always such an important part of our conferences, our stakeholder meetings, is not only for attendees to be able to go to these sessions and hear from the researchers about the work that they're doing and get in-depth into their research plans and their findings. The other part is at the end of the day, they're able to go out and find those researchers at a table and actually get hands-on demonstrations of the research that they spoke about earlier in their session. And that really kind of closes the loop from a PowerPoint slide deck to a real-life experience with the technology. And we didn't want to lose that. That was such an important part of our experience. So these tech demos are the researchers actually in a virtual environment, walking people very methodically through how their technology works, versus, you know, the typical slide deck that will be part of their on-demand sessions as far as their research goes, walking through, you know, their plans, where they stand in their research, the findings they've made, technical details. That's going to happen in those on-demand sessions. The tech demos are going to be them actually walking you through what the tech does, how it operates, what it looks like, the output of the technology. And that will be the entire focus of those tech demos, so that people can actually get a real idea, not just from pictures on a slide, but from a researcher filming, actually utilizing that technology, and so that the person on the other end can get a better handle on actually how it will perform for a first responder.
Okay. No, very, very cool. Can't wait to see it. And when you say researcher, and for people that may not be familiar with PSCR, we're not just talking about the people that are in your building in the Colorado area, right? We were talking
That's about absolutely right.
Folks, can you talk about some of the programs you all have and what people may be able to see?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for anybody who doesn't know, our research areas are focused around several core portfolios. Mission Critical Voice for public safety. We're also focused on linking landmobile radio to an LTE network for the period of time that the two coexist. Enhanced user interfaces for public safety, so giving them the next level of interaction with the network beyond pinching and swiping and zooming, and instead having heads-up displays or haptic feedback or voice commands. That's another one of our portfolios. We also have analytics, so taking advantage of all of the information that's available across networks or through sensors and making it useful to public safety through AI or enhanced analytics. And then we also have indoor location-based services, so the ability to track personnel and assets inside of a building at a sub-meter resolution with highly accurate maps and in-building navigation. Those are our focus areas. Now, we do have a couple of cross-cutting areas as well. Security, certainly all of this information is incredibly important and needs to be secure, and it needs to be resilient. So if the macro network is down and or not accessible because you're in a tunnel or in a parking garage, you still need to be able to have access to those capabilities, all of those other areas that I had already spoken about. So those are the research areas. And we perform this research by, we have internal research in our labs in Boulder, Colorado and Gaithersburg, Maryland, where we have about 100 researchers focused on these issues. But we also have heavily engaged the research community outside of NIST to help us solve these problems. And so we've done that through grants and cooperative agreements. So to date, we've awarded grants to through primes and subcontractors to over 167 entities worldwide, and for over about $65 million across all of those portfolio areas. And in addition, we utilize prize challenges, so much like NASA or DARPA has in the past, and through those prize challenge programs that really engages an entirely different sector that we would normally interact with. These are university teams or innovators that aren't your typical grantee or typical contractor with the government. They have participated through these prize challenges, and to date, we've given out over $2 million in prize challenge awards to over probably, I would say at this point, 115 teams, and we've already performed 9 challenges. So that's a major part of how we are performing our work. And so those on-demand sessions, we're going to have 71 on-demand sessions. Those are made up not just by the internal NIST researchers, but grantees each have their own on-demand sessions. Prize challenge winners have panels of on-demand sessions where they're talking about how they approach the challenge, whether it was a analytics challenge or user interface challenge, whatever the case may be. They all have sessions around their research topics. So yes, this is a very wide-ranging set of researchers from around the globe that are coming through this digital experience to put forward their research to the people who participate in this online event.
Yeah, so I know you all finished recently your Texas for Tech Awards. What are some of the, you can talk a little bit about that, and also some of the ongoing prize challenges that folks can participate in if they're interested.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Tech Protect finals, that was a year-long challenge. That challenge had been going on for a year. And if you remember, it was a year-long hackathon across 10 different topic areas that were made up of things that came out of our own researchers' plans, as well as half of the 10 topics were developed by FirstNet research staff as well. And so those 10 topics, we invited teams to address those topics, and that occurred over almost a year period. And we also had 10 live events across the United States where people were able to come in different cities across the U.S. and actually hold hackathons in person, but also people were able to do it simply online. They didn't have to show up in person. So we ended up having hundreds of contestants throughout all of these topic areas, but the finals were held in May, where we had 24 teams come forward as part of the finals, and across all of the topic areas, the 10 topic areas were represented, and the results were just phenomenal, really exceeded all expectations. We ended up awarding over $800,000 in prizes at that final event. Each of the teams received an award from an award of excellence that received $40,000 to an award of good that received $10,000. Also, 10 teams also received an additional $30,000 for seed funding to take their idea and actually turn that idea into a commercialized product. And so 10 teams received $30,000 to start business planning and getting help in figuring out how to take a product from concept to an actual commercializable product. And based on what they do with that $30,000 and some criteria that we provided them, they're going to come back to us in 6 months and present what they've done with that $30,000. And if it is considered to be to meet a certain level of criteria, they have the ability to get an additional $70,000 to take them to the next level to really try to get some of these products in the hands of public safety. So it was a really exciting experience. We had some fascinating concepts from mass casualty event management, mission critical voice, We had ways of securing pictures taken on a mobile phone to ensure that the picture that was taken on scene has not been tampered with, all the way through the evidence process to the very end of potential, you know, going into court and being analyzed. Some of the performers created applications that where you could, in essence, digitally fingerprint that initial picture and prove that nothing had changed so it would stand up in court. Really amazing things that I would not be surprised to see some of the things that came out of Tech to Protect on an app store in a matter of months.
Wow.
Which is really exciting. That's not typically the timeline that we work in. We're usually in the, you know, 5-10 year out timeline, but some of the things that came out of Tech to Protect could be in public safety's hands in months, and with current devices and current capabilities of the phones that they have in their hands. So it was really exciting.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'll tell you what, that, you know, being able to, I don't know whether they call it fingerprints, watermarks, whatever, to make sure,
yep,
to guarantee that, you know, this is valid. That's a huge, huge component.
It is.
For things going forward. And then do you all have some ongoing challenges?
We do. We currently have three prize challenges that are open and operational. One is the Chariot Challenge, which is a combination of augmented reality, heads-up displays, and IoT sensor data. So taking IoT sensor data that would come off of a potential use case for public safety. And so, you know, imagine having streaming data about chemicals coming from chemical sensors, or streaming data coming off the responder themselves on their heart rate, or whatever the case may be, having that data be available to them through a heads-up display technology, and how that data would be presented appropriately in a way that would actually enhance their operations. So this prize challenge takes those two topics and merges them together. So we have some teams that are focused on that IoT sensor live streaming part of the prize challenge. Then we have another set of teams that are focused on AR development and taking the a Magic Leap headset, which Magic Leap is our partner in this prize challenge, and are actually providing headsets to the contestants. The AR teams will actually be looking at how to use the Magic Leap headset to present some of that IoT data. So that challenge is currently has moved past phase one and is in phase two. We also have our next iteration of our first responder UAS endurance drone challenge. So over a year ago, we held our first drone challenge, where the challenge was to take a drone within certain parameters and see how long we could have people fly with, say, a 10-pound payload that would mock what a standalone LTE network might weigh, so that in a situation where there's no cellular coverage, first responders could put up, in essence, their own local LTE network with a drone. They could go wherever they needed it to go. That was a great event. Had really interesting results. We just launched the second iteration of that, and we're in phase two of that one as well. We had a phase one judging event, and now teams have moved forward into phase two. And then we also are running our automated streams analysis for public safety, or ASAPS prize challenge. And that is about taking all of the types of information that might be available, whether it's video streams, social media streams, audio streams, and seeing if there's analytics that could be applied to that information that would help public safety be alerted to emergencies to allow for faster response times. Right now, that prize challenge is in operation as well. We also have a grant that is out, and it is for the first responder 3D challenge, which is about tracking personnel and assets inside of buildings. That grant will be, I think the final submission dates are in August, and a grantee will be awarded to implement this prize challenge to look at in-building coverage. So that's what that one is about. And then we have a couple of upcoming ones that are in the near the horizon, which is one is about computer vision data sets for quality analysis. So creating a data set that people can then apply quality analysis analytics to. And right now, a lot of problem with research in the public safety field is the data set system exists for researchers to use to develop some of these new technologies. So part of what we're doing is looking at just providing and creating new data sets. And then we also have a mobile fingerprint capture for first responder challenge. So there, we're going to be looking at how could we use cell phone technology so that public safety could capture fingerprints potentially in the field with technology that currently exists or that could be advanced so that they could have that ability in the field versus having to go back to someplace else to capture fingerprints, which would make them much more efficient and potentially make their jobs much safer. So those are all, those two are on the horizon and will be launched soon. So yeah, we have a lot of things going on. And we're very excited about it and really hope people join us for this digital experience, because everything I just talked about, all those prize challenges I just talked about, they all have a session in this digital experience and will be discussed.
Wow, wow. Well, you guys are definitely staying busy, as always. Yes. And congratulations on all the work, and can't wait to see what you guys have beginning on July 27th.
I appreciate it, Donnie, and we're looking forward to it. So again, if your audience is interested, go to pscr.gov, and there is a link to sign up for the digital experience. Like I said, it's free, so it just takes the time for you to sign up for it. So please do that, and we look forward to having you participate.
All right. Sounds great, Derek. Again, congratulations, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Donnie. Take care.